What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
Welcome back to our show. Hour number two. The phone lines are open, partly. Area code 512-248-8252. And we're going to go to Paul in New Jersey. Hello, Paul. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. Concerning the Tulsa race riot, you know, I have to admit, I've always heard it as that in the past, Tulsa race riot. Only recently, it seems like they're exacerbating the situation by calling it a massacre.
Yes.
And I really don't see it as a massacre, because generally I consider massacres where the people who are being killed are unarmed. Now, if you read a timeline of what transpired in Tulsa 100 years ago, you'd find that there were hotheads on both sides.
Yes, there generally are.
Gathering down at the courthouse, armed. And you had a lot of whites gathering down at the courthouse, armed. And I think things escalated, some accidents happened, shots went off, and before you know it, there's just gangs from both sides, even doing drive-by shootings, shooting and strafing at each other, and it went on and on. And I just see it as one of these things where the majority of the people were white. You know, it was a mostly white city. Blacks were the minority. And because of those factors, generally more blacks are going to die because they're outnumbered. And I think what the media is doing is they're trying to, you know, like perpetuate the myth of black victims. And they're again doing it in this instance. And I don't think it's really helpful, for race relations today, for this to perpetuate these things as though it was just a bunch of innocent blacks who just got ganged up by whites and they burned the neighborhood down. I really am, I don't think that's doing a good social service. Now, remember, too, when the initial riots happened and the reports came out, the initial investigation came out, the death toll was way lower. And
yes.
They claimed it was, I think, about somewhere around 15 whites and about 36 blacks. And over time now, they've been, it seems like, ginning up the numbers, and now they're claiming it's as many as 300. Now, we might want to put one last thing into perspective concerning that, is that according to Statistica, in 2019, 7,000, approximately 7,000 blacks were killed by other blacks in 2019.
Yes.
And nobody makes a stink about that when it's 7,000 blacks killed by other blacks. Nobody makes, there's no reparations for that. There's no clarion call. It's this morbid, always focusing on what the other race is doing to you.
Yes.
And I really think it's spreading a mental illness more than the black community today, because it seems that they're mostly the aggressors of one. If one objectively goes through the statistics, crime statistics, and murder statistics. And so I urge you, Michael, to please, if you can, and you are able to keep your, and you likely are, keep your intellectual wits about you, and call it the Tulsa race riot. And a good comparison to compare that with, you know, the Tulsa race riot, it can't compare to the 1863 New York draft riots, even when it comes to death.
Yeah, those were definitely ugly.
Yeah, exactly. And on that note, thank you, Michael.
All right, well, thank you. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, when this eviction moratorium ends and we start seeing millions of Americans thrown into the streets, I think we're going to see rioting follow that as well. So maybe they'll call them the eviction riots or something. Anyway, we're going to go to Kelly in Austin. Hello, Kelly. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
There are a couple of things. One about Biden. Can you hear me well? I've got a new headpiece on here.
No, I hear you just fine.
Okay, very good. You know, if Biden is removed from office because it's finally demonstrated that this election was stolen, everything he has done since January 20th is null and void immediately.
Correct.
Think of the chaos that's going to cause on the left.
Oh, yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, I am too. In fact, I hope they end up like Lemmy running over a cliff. Anyway, the main reason I'm calling is that yesterday a caller from Memphis asked about the Memphis Bridge. He wondered, is Kelly an engineer? And you thought maybe I'm a geophysicist. Well, I'm an engineer. My undergrad degree is in geological engineering.
Ah, okay.
My professional certification is in geology. I'm a PG, and my doctorate is in geochemistry. But I've dealt with these things over time, seismicity. In fact, I worked in structural geology for many years, and that would cross over into matters related to seismicity and whatever. And my response to the question, it was a good question, is that the damage to the bridge is probably not related to seismicity. It's probably related to bad engineering and bad inspection.
And poor maintenance.
And poor maintenance, that's right. And I can point you to cases across the country regarding bridges and dams in which that's the case. If that were related to seismicity, related to anything along the New Madrid fault zone up there, you see a lot more widespread structural damage, not just on bridges, but in buildings and
just one crack on one bridge.
Yeah. That's probably more related again to one bad engineering or substandard. Let's say substandard engineering, and into bad inspection.
You know, well, that's the big stink here, is that apparently the crack's been there for a while, and whoever was supposed to be inspecting the bridge just missed it.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I travel back and forth between Louisiana and Texas a lot. There's a bridge in Lafayette, in Lake Charles, Louisiana, on I-10, which has been there enough, you know, for some 50-some-odd years. And it's in very bad shape. It has failed one inspection after another, and cars are still traveling that bridge over the Calcasieu River.
We're dealing with infrastructure issues here in Indiana. There was a report that came out the other day about just how many dams are considered unstable. It's a little nerve-wracking because Claire and I, where we live, we're in between three lakes, all of which are artificial.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, dams are a serious problem in this country.
Yes.
They were constructed many years ago. They've not been well maintained or inspected, and many of them are in serious danger, I think, of failure for many reasons. And, of course, that means that people who live downstream of the dams are in peril if that water comes rushing through and floods them all out. So it's not just the Memphis Bridge, which I think is a problem related again to I think substandard engineering. Let's go back to New Orleans, for example, in 2005 when Katrina blew through there and all the flooding there. Upon further inspection of the levees and the sheet dikes there and sheet pilings around the city. The people who conducted the survey realized that these things were not engineered well in the first place.
Yeah.
And so what happens now is when you go back and you look at these things from the perspective of many years, you realize that the engineering was not good engineering in the first place. It was rushed through. They did things to get it built. And the assumption was that, well, if there's a failure, it certainly won't happen in our lifetime, and we will never be held accountable for that.
There's a little too much of that attitude pervading our entire government, to be very, very honest. And it's like, a while back, when somebody built something like a building or a dam, it was built to last, and now everything has a lifespan, and as you say, their attitude is it only has to last until I'm out of office.
Well, that's exactly right. So let's say some engineer puts his stamp and signature on a design when he's 35 years old, and this thing fails, 35, 40, 50 years down the line, you know, there's a good chance he's going to be dead by then.
Yes.
You know, I've put my stamp and my signature on many things related to geological engineering aspects of the projects. You know, but I never do that if I think that I'm being asked to do something that I'm going to compromise my professional standards on. Unfortunately, there are too many engineering companies in this country, and I work for a couple of them. There are too many engineering companies in this country that are willing to do that.
Yes.
Because they realize that the liability 30, 40, 50 years down the road is nothing that they're going to have to deal with. And with regard to this bridge in Memphis, again, I'm curious how many other projects the engineers who put their stamp and their seal on that design were involved in other things that might not actually have been should not have been stamped and signed. It might sound like a gratuitous swipe at engineers. I work with engineers all the time. Most 99% of them, 99.9% professionals.
Yes.
But there's that small.
My father was an engineer. Initially, he got his engineering degree from MIT. And I remember, you know, as a kid, you know, he just dreamed of the opportunity of designing and building a bridge. So he was he was really gung-ho about wanting to do a good job about that. The other aspect, to be fair to the engineers, are when blueprints are signed off and approved, sometimes the construction companies will take shortcuts. I remember there was this disaster of this overhead walkway at an airport that collapsed. And they discovered the reason for it was that the company that built the walkway didn't follow the as-builts exactly, and they took a shortcut to make it easier and cheaper for them to get the job done, and that's what led to the failure.
I know that case, and actually there have been many times in my career when I've been asked by clients or attorneys, well, can you just look the other way and sign this? And my response is, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming a liability because I'm the professional geologist. I put my PG stamp on it. You want me to look the other way because down the road I'm going to get sued and you're not? Hell no. Hell no. I have a daughter who has a PhD in engineering.
Yes.
There's no way in hell she'd do that. I mean, it's crazy. So, I mean, getting back to the Memphis Bridge issue, you know, it's enticing to think that perhaps seismicity might account for the instability in the bridge right now. I really doubt that. I mean, really, going back to Occam's razor, it's really more a function of design and poor maintenance, I think, than anything else.
I would say the poor maintenance, because if subsidence was the reason for the excessive stress on that one load-bearing member, you would expect to see similar cracks forming you know, in other load-bearing members, and we just haven't seen that yet.
Well, that's right. Now, like go further down in Mississippi, and to say Baton Rouge, where you have the big Mississippi River Bridge,
yes,
Port Allen into Baton Rouge. That thing is 50 years old.
Yes,
it's a healthy bridge. Now you have other bridges as well, so you really have to consider that. There are other factors that account for it. Again, it may be comforting to think that, well, there are other factors that are caused for that, such as seismicity or subsidence. Well, I guarantee if there's subsidence in Memphis, there's a hell of a lot more subsidence around Baton Rouge.
Yes, there would be.
Around Memphis.
Yeah.
And that bridge, which was designed, I mean, to last for ages. And then there's the Huey P. Long Bridge over in New Orleans.
Yes,
that thing is intact, and it really hasn't shown any.
I remember when I was working on the Mississippi Queen, we used to sail under that thing all the time.
Yeah. I mean, so modern engineering is really we need to praise modern engineers. I mean,
yes,
they do marvelous work. But you know, again, don't look for extraneous factors such as earthquakes, unless if it were related to earthquakes, you'd see it soon after a tremor
yes.
period. Yeah, really. Okay, Mark, that's all I got to tell you.
All right, thank you very much. We're going to switch over to Al in Canada. Hello, Al. Thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
Wow, another great call.
Yes.
I just sent you an email of one of these old suspension bridges in the United States that I had crossed over a lot on down in Poughkeepsie in New York.
Yeah.
And it's one of those beautiful, you know, metal suspension bridges. I hope I did it right. I gave you like a shot of it, what it looks like before you're supposed to get on it, you know, on Google Maps. And your last caller, what he was talking about with these engineering firms, there's so much truth in what he said, because Maple Leaf, who is owned by Michael McCain, they had a big plant built up here in Ontario, and the engineering firm that designed it were just really stupid. They absolutely forgot that it's a meat plant, and all of the refrigeration is going on the roof, so the whole roof was the roof structure was undersized.
Yes,
and they had to bring in on nights a welding firm to actually go up in, like, you know, up in there in the roof and actually start welding all these reinforcing rods and that. So they got sued. They went out of business. That engineering firm went out of business. They got sued by McCain, but even after only the first phase of that plant was finished, that plant was $1 billion with a B dollars over budget.
Mm-hmm.
And McCain actually went to the federal government for a loan, not a bank, a federal government. And what do you think the chances that loan ever got paid back?
Probably zero.
Oh, yes, definitely zero. That's why he went to the federal government, right? Basically just to get a big tax write-off, like up front. Anyway, the reason why I really did call was because of something I've read. When you brought up ivermectin with what's going on in India, it reminded me of something I read from McGill University, where they studied the effects of vitamin D. And
yes,
they said, it doesn't work. You know, it doesn't do anything, right, basically. Mm-hmm. You just get expensive urine. And I sent you an email on that. Another email I sent you that had to do with McGill was where it gets its funding from. Guess what? Right there. Bill and Melinda Gates.
Yeah, I'm looking at the mails that you sent me here.
Right?
And Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Global Affairs, Grand Challenges Canada. You know, it's all about the Benjamins.
You got that right, Mike. You absolutely have that right. And obviously, I was reading when you, as soon as you brought up that India and ivermectin, as well as you've mentioned, you know, this has been mentioned for over a year now, was that hydroxychloroquine.
Yes.
You know, there's another one. I actually read up an article about this with what's going on in India. Yeah, and they're you know, it just basically, you know, put the brakes on this rapid transmission of this virus, or the effects weren't as deep, which would, you know, lead people to believe that you know, this ivermectin is a therapeutic.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It doesn't tinker with your DNA or your RNA or anything like that. So I if vitamin D did absolutely nothing, then why do people are more prone to get sick in the winter, in the fall?
Well, I think what they were trying to say is that vitamin D had no effect on COVID-19, but, you know, everybody understands vitamin D is good for you, and it's an essential nutrient that you have to have, that you should spend time outdoors to make the vitamin D naturally, as opposed to, you know, pills, which don't absorb very well.
Well, pills don't absorb very well because usually people will take them on an empty stomach, right? So you end up with literally very expensive urine.
I'm sorry to do this. I got to cut you off. We got to take a break for commercials. We've got callers waiting on the line. We have open lines, 512-248-8252, and we'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than 2 of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go back to the phone to James in Charlotte. James, thank you for waiting patiently. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Hello, Mike. I've been doing some reading, tried to do some in-depth reading, and I'd like to sort of fill in some gaps and trace back the origins of COVID-19 and maybe add a name to the discussion that I don't think people have heard of yet. From what I found, the origin of COVID goes back quite a number of years, at least 10. This was at this, well, at about this time, Dr. Fauci was apparently already in the process of looking for a viral bioweapon and was monitoring work that was going on in various labs throughout the United States. And what he saw that looked the most promising was the work of Dr. Ralph Baric, that's B-A-R-I-C, who is a microbiologist and chemistry professor at the rather ominous-sounding Gilling School of Global Public Health at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. This was around the year 2015, about this time, this Dr. Baric. had already undertaken an unauthorized gain-of-function study for the synthesis of a supercharged SARS-type coronavirus.
Okay.
And this type of work was strictly forbidden by both the Center for Disease Control and the WHO, World Health Organization.
Mm-hmm.
And so about this time, Fauci was cooperating, was working with Dr. Barrick and directing funds to his work at Chapel Hill. But there were some oversight people at CDC that found out about it and determined that this was illegal work, and they were in the process of about to shut the research down. So soon afterward, Fauci made arrangements with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau to move the ongoing research to a Canadian government lab in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Mm-hmm.
It would be out of reach of CDC or any other U.S. agencies. And it was moved to Winnipeg in November of 2015, but apparently things did not work out there either. The director of the lab refused to cooperate and wouldn't let Fauci have access to this secure lab.
Okay.
This was likely at the direction of Canada's main oversight agency, the what's called the National Microbiology Research Council.
Okay.
And so soon after being denied access to the lab in Winnipeg,
yeah,
Manitoba, Fauci moved it again, had this viral bioweapon flown to Wuhan, and this was in January of 2016. He had to bribe the Chinese with $3.7 million to do it,
mm-hmm.
Which he had plenty of access to plenty of money from his, you know, department's $6 billion in annual budget. So that's how it arrived in Wuhan.
Okay.
And he, I'm understanding that Fauci traveled back and forth from Washington to Wuhan a bit over the next 3.5 years to further oversee the work that was being done to develop that bioweapon there.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think, would maybe fill in some of the gaps that have to trace the actual movement of this coronavirus as an actual bioweapon. I think there's no doubt that that's what it was developed for.
Well, I think it was a work in progress, because as a biological weapon, it's not turned out to be very effective. But I wonder if this hard push to get everybody vaccinated is out of concern as to what it might mutate into.
That's certainly a possibility. At any rate, they wanted to try and keep it as much of a secret as possible. There was,
and I can understand why. Yes.
Yeah. In fact, Trudeau paid Wuhan almost $1 million to keep quiet about his limited involvement in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a story that came out a couple of weeks ago where the Wuhan facility was caught destroying computer records from those times. Anyway, listen, James, got to let you go. Got to take a break for commercials. Got callers waiting on the line, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay.
And welcome back to our show. We're going to go back to the phones to Peter in Los Angeles. Peter, long time no hear from. What's on your mind today?
Well, Mike, I first want to say that I listened to Paul and I listened to Kelly. Both had good calls. And
yes,
I cannot give the an engineering. I'm not such a great observer of engineering. But I'm an excellent observer of government malfeasance.
Yes.
And when you talk about engineering.
Join the club.
Yeah, and you wonder, even back in some of the projects, Mike, with under the TVA and the CCC under Roosevelt, which was just a big, it was also pork. One of the reasons why everybody's been after and dumping for years for infrastructure, investment in infrastructure, and we haven't gotten, even though clearly we need it, is that the party out of power never wants to surrender the ability for the party in power to award their pork barrel, construction contracts to all their friends.
Mm-hmm.
So we go, years and years without getting an infrastructure, investment or significant movement on that. But you wonder, even back in the TVA and the CCC and all the 30 stuff under Roosevelt, how many of them were shoddily made or done with pork, you know? But what we do know for sure, whether the engineering was good or bad, and Kelly's better than me, is that we know that the Deepwater Horizon was inspected, right, that same
yes.
month, that it blew up and given an award, right, by the government overseers. And that mine that collapsed in West Virginia was given the go-ahead by the governmental oversight thing on mine safety, and it turned
yes.
out they were getting just like the, you know, hookers and cash and all that sort of thing to the inspectors, just like the SEC inspectors with Bernie Madoff and going down. So one of the lesson here is that even if the engineering is good, the government oversight, inspection, and maintenance is terrible.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
And you know what?
It absolutely is. And you're right. I mean, we go back in and we look at these things afterwards and say that they never should have passed inspection, and yet they did. Same thing with that bridge in Memphis. Supposedly, it had been inspected several times over the last few years, and they just missed that crack.
And remember the dam up near Sacramento that they
yes.
had an emergency patch up or would have wiped out Sacramento? These went on for years and years. And
mm-hmm.
they knew about it ahead of time, just like they knew about the drinking water in Dearborn or wherever
Flint.
It was.
Flint.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing was about Paul's call and his call about what they how they refer to the Tulsa riots as massacre. And I think he made a really good point on that. And I sent you something this morning. We all know that the media is trying to The you-know-who-owned media has been trying to divide and conquer and not report on black crime or the fact that, you know, like you were saying, it's all this stuff is going to come from a redistribution of wealth from white people to black people or white people to anybody else, not white people. But I was saying that you know, we never get the right answer or it's buried or it's spun. But I sent you something this morning that I got out of Arns about something, and I'm a big-time historian about World War II,
mm-hmm.
and about an incident in Queensland, Australia, where a black unit, and they were all support units, they were not combat units, revolted and turned on its officers, and in this ensuing melee, they expended over 700 rounds. Now that's a major thing.
Yes,
you're
it
talking
is.
Talking about 700, and if you, I know you know what an M1 Garand was.
Yes,
that was an 8-round clip. So that's like 100 guys reloading, or one guy reloading 100 times. But they didn't even have Garands. They had the old 03 Springfield, which was 5 rounds, bolt action. How long does it take a bolt action, you know, to go through 700 rounds and reload with 5 rounds? And yet, nobody ever heard of this. This is a major deal. People died. And what you do hear about is the great Tuskegee Airmen who won the war single-handed and have a made-up ace that they had to go back 70 years afterwards and give him ace status because after 2.5 years of combat, they didn't have any aces. But what we don't hear is this, right? Insurrections, rebellions, they weren't even in combat. It wasn't like fragging an officer in combat. This is turning on people in peacetime in Australia and
mm-hmm.
expending 700 rounds. That's pretty bad, Mike, really. Another thing, I sent it to you. You might want to take a look at it. But nobody hears that. You just hear about what war winners they were and how great we were. They fought discrimination and they fought the Germans and all that stuff. But you can almost guarantee that there were a lot of hotheads in Tulsa that were black, just like there's a lot of hotheads everywhere that are black that dominate the crime and the murder and the rapes and the armed robberies and all the weapons charges. So whatever. But here we have again, and now maybe they'll revolt less now that all the whites are being purged from the armed forces. Or they're trying to purge them all. But nobody's trying to purge these people that did insurrections, right? They have a history of it. I'm unaware of any white unit that ever did that, or any other unit, period. So anyways, there you go. That's my comment for the day, Mike. And that's
all right. Well, thank you very much for the phone call, and we're going to switch over to Mark in North Carolina. Mark, thank you for waiting patiently. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, what's going on? Hope you had a good
You tell me.
Listen, funny what's going on here. The masks are coming off very quickly. I was at the gym today. You know, nobody was wearing a mask, literally nobody.
Yes.
Last week when it started, you know, it's like half the people were, half the people, including employees, not wearing them today. They said it came from corporate that they'd take them up. Now, I also noticed all the stores around here more and more unmasking, even the employees.
Yes, I'm seeing that here.
Now, this is what I think is going on right now. This all started when I knew Fauci was dirty from the get-go. And
yes.
I think a lot of us did. But when it became more and more clear that Fauci is dirty, even to the corporate media, I think they're starting to panic now. I think they're afraid, for instance, that the Chinese are going to start to tell the truth. That actually, yeah, they had that lab there, and they were keeping those germs there, but it all came from North Carolina or Maryland or wherever else these things were being made.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's going on. Now they're starting to, you know, they're starting to panic. I don't trust them still. It's possible they may try to spring a real heavy-duty bioweapon, but I think at this point they're afraid they're going to be caught even trying to do that. So that way, it's good news. But, again, we got to stay on our toes because you don't know what these clowns might be up to. You know they've been rigging all along. They've been rigging the entire virus as far as the cycles go.
Yes.
Right? You have everything around 28 cycles now, so you're not going to have much coming out. They can always rev it up to 40 again and start a panic again. That's why I say people got to be in it on their toes and understand where these evil scumbags are coming from. Because there's no telling what they still might try to do. I know that, you know, the decrepit imposter there in the White House, he said that, oh, you need a mask or take the vaccine. But the impression I got is most of the people wearing the mask probably took the vaccine also.
Yeah, I think so.
Probably never took the vaccine. And I think they realize this. I think the establishment realizes this. And it was mostly a face-saving thing that that the imposter came up with. Can't really say for sure, but it really seems like that. It's not like you have a lot of signs in stores saying if you didn't get the vaccine, put on a mask. The only one I've seen at it is Trader Joe's, and they're forcing it. They're not asking you at the door. They just have to sign up there.
Yeah.
The CDC, you know, the Center for Disease Spreading. So I think it's a good sign. I think they're getting scared. I think they realize the American people are getting more and more wise to them. Not happening like that in Canada. Getting more and more like a police state. The same thing with Australia. And a lot of the other British, if you notice, the British Commonwealth countries are for the most part the worst. And I believe that's because instead of taking an oath to the Constitution and the people of their countries, they take an oath to this degenerate, pedophile, miserable excuse of the so-called royal family. And that's one of the problems. The royal family is some of the worst globalists imaginable.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what you're seeing with the why you're seeing so many of these Commonwealth countries really, you know, turning into total dictatorship. But the United States, we are different. We do have our Constitution. Thank God for that. We do have.
Well, I don't know. Our government really isn't paying much attention to that anymore. And you know, from where I sit, we're definitely descending into fascism.
We are, but it's not as quick, and we can stop it still. Because, again, we have states' rights, too. You have states like Florida, Texas, South Dakota, and others that finally stood up told a decrepit pastor where to go, and they can't really enforce it. So, I mean, you do have things like that. You don't have that in these Commonwealth countries, all right? So there is, and we also, of course, have the Second Amendment, which is one of the most important of all the amendments. That's probably the most important one because...
Well, that's the amendment that gives teeth to the other nine in the Bill of Rights.
To the whole Constitution, it gives teeth to.
Yeah.
And that is very important. Again, these Commonwealth countries, the ones that did allow guns for a while, they just caved in and gave them up, you know, shamefully. And that's the problem. What they should do is get rid of that disgusting, degenerate world family and become regular republics.
Okay.
They have a constitution like ours. That would help them. Now, a lot of other Europe, you know, part of Europe is really, you know, bearing down, but other parts are starting to loosen up too and starting to realize it's not working. And people are starting to rebel. And of course,
yeah, which is why I think they're going to start wagging that Indian variant at us, the COVID Delta.
Yeah,
they've renamed it.
Again, we got to be careful. We got. Yep. I don't think there's an Indian variant. I think it's a bunch of BS. But we got to be careful that they don't roll up that, what do you call it again? Those cycles. And make
it
clear. Yeah,
on the PCR test.
And make it clear. If you're worried about variants, or you're worried about other things, instead of taking a shot in the arm, it's not going to do you any good, may actually hurt you, increase the amount of vitamins you take. Get your sunshine. Eat your fruits and vegetables. Eat your organic foods. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's the best vaccine. It's God's and nature's vaccine. I believe, see, my own version of religion is I believe nature is an agent of God. Okay?
Okay, well, I could see, yeah, I can go along with that idea.
I'm much closer to the belief of the American Indians than I
yes.
am with the, what do you call it again, with the Abrahamic religions, you know?
Yes.
Like the Great Spirit and all that, I really believe something like that. I believe God is a spirit, and he is, and like I said, he uses nature as his agent on this earth and maybe on other planets too, hard to say. So, that's it for now, Mike. You know, I'm trying to. I'm mostly getting you now on repeats because I can't get you on. You know, I've tried everything to get you.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be talking to Rumble about setting up a live streaming account with them. The only issue is them allowing me to pay for it using PayPal rather than a credit card, which I know is a minor sticking point, but it would just, you know, my comfort level. And so I'm working on that this week because I know my YouTube ban has been lifted, but I'm not going back to them.
Yeah, I also see you on VK. I see you on, but you're not streaming from there. I see you. I notice you're on Minds, and I wish you would try something with Mike Adams on his on Brighteon.
Brighteon has decided they're not going to go with live streaming. They're concerned about people live streaming something that could be used to justify shutting them down.
Well, he's live streaming Pete Santilli. And Santilli, let me tell you something. I like Santilli. But Santilli really, really gets to the line. I mean, of crowded theater line. You know what I mean?
All right, I'll get back to Brighteon. You know, but it was in their fact that they've canceled plans to go to live streaming, but I'll go back and say, you know, can I have the same deal that Pete Santilli has?
Yeah, again, and it's great. His screening is coming in great. So, you know, I get it whenever I can, you know? Whether I get it on, you know, if I'm driving or when I'm home. He's got two great shows, one in the evening and one in the starting at 6 o'clock in the evening, the other starting 9 o'clock in the morning. And when I can, I try to catch it. He's got a great show, and it's, like I said, it's coming in beautifully. So, I don't think Mike Adams is afraid. I think Mike Adams is he's a fighter. Mike Adams
yes.
is a fighter. He doesn't take any crap from these globalists, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. All right, Mike. You take it easy, right?
All right, I will. And we're coming up on our last commercial break. And rather than start a phone call that I'm going to have to cut off real quick, little story. Up at the International Space Station, the robotic arm, the Canada Arm 2, has been hit by orbital debris. It's still working, but it kind of underscores the reality. There's a lot of space junk up there that is too small to be tracked, and it can cause a lot of damage to the space station or to other satellites. And obviously, if we go to war in orbit, the situation will be worse. Okay, going to take a break for commercials, back with phone calls after these few words.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Born in the city with a silver spoon, great-grandson of the oil tycoon, raised by wolves, thinks he owns the moon. Socialist banker to the one-world goons, Davy Rockefeller, chairman of the CFR.
And welcome back to our show, last segment of our program today, and we're going to go to Bruce in Texas. Bruce, thank you for waiting patiently. What's on your mind today? Bruce, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Great. Yeah, I waited for the beep. I want to see if either the fella from Austin, he seems pretty knowledgeable, or someone else can call in and ring in on this topic here. Now, you mentioned at the start of the show that what the alternative media has that makes it so strong is we deal with the truth. We don't deal with fiction.
Yes.
Okay? And I agree
totally.
We deal
with facts.
We deal with facts, yes. And so how do you ruin that, or how do you discredit that? You throw in disinformation. You make us look kooky. You water down the truth.
And, fake Apollo moon landings, and, the current one is all the UFO, flying saucers, space alien stuff.
Earth.
My mailbox is just filled with that crap.
Yeah. Remember John McCain and Hillary Clinton had ankle bracelet monitors, the 2000 indictments.
Yeah.
All that came out through people in our community. I mean, maybe they weren't creators of that. And maybe they weren't being wise
or careful,
but they repeated it.
Let's not eliminate the possibility that a lot of people posing as independent media are, in fact, working for the deep state, specifically to come on in and taint the independent media environment.
Right. Okay. Now, I don't want to be mean here, but sometimes it comes out that way. I'm not a very cordial person sometimes.
I
like to get down to brass tacks, okay? But you had a host on this network yesterday that had a relative newcomer on the scene who's exploded and has videos and he's all over the place and he's usually pretty good and I like listening to him, okay? And y'all can go rewind and go find out who it is. I don't think, unless you want me to, I'm not going to name him.
No,
but,
don't name him.
They played a video of a girl that got a COVID shot and the magnet stuck to the COVID shot site. And
I've already tried that one. And no, the magnets did not stick to where Claire and I got our injections. It's like the one where they say the COVID shots are activating Bluetooth. Again, it's just more of this kookification.
Yes, exactly. It is. Anyway, microchips, is it okay with evidence of a microchip being planted? Well, microchips are mostly silicon, for one.
Yes.
And how do you put that in a normal? Are the vials of the virus? I mean, we know there's nanomagnetic tech inside these new gene therapies to target cells or to enable the targeting of cells and the penetration with DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now that we talked about that last week. But how do you put a microchip in through a regular syringe with a 22-gauge needle and draw it out of a vial, like, what's it, floating around there, like gold slogger, and then try taking a sliver of metal and duct tape it to the wall and put a magnet on it? It's not going to stick, okay? It's not going to stick. So unless this can be explained rationally and someone can duplicate it or explain how it happens in a scientific way that's repeatable or at least logical. I'm very angry sometimes when I hear this stuff being spread around because it makes us all look stupid.
Well, that's what they're trying to do. And, whether it's, chemtrails or space aliens, like I said, the perennial, the Apollo moon landings were fake. They can't use that one anymore because the landing sites have now been imaged by other nations' satellites, some of whom are not friendly to us. And
they still stick with it, though. They say those are fake. They say the photographs are fake.
Well, again, that's their job. It's it's either that or work at the local fast food restaurant for minimum wage.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. And there is the music. Please stay tuned for John Stedmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Please spread the word of Republic Broadcasting. Spread the word of WhatReallyHappened.com. Please donate. We'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, and aloha, America.
Used every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store
or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.